You're listening to EVH Gear TV, brought to you by Design 39 Media. Visit design39media.com for all your website, photography, and video production needs. Microphones for EVH Gear TV are provided by Rode Microphones, and official Van Halen merchandise is provided by VanHalenStore.com. Now, here's your host from Ontario, Canada, EVH Gear artist Eric Broadbent.
Hey everyone, it is the weekend. Welcome to EVH Gear TV. Happy Friday to you all. We are live once again, and I'm joined by Ibanez sensational guitar artist Nita Strauss. Nita, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure. Nice to have you here for sure. And we're going to talk a lot about your new signature guitar that you've just released, debuted at NAMM. We're looking forward to that. And I didn't even know until talking to you off camera that you had it off to the side of you. So we'll get a look at that as well, too. But so that
yes, she's here. The Jiva's in the building.
Fantastic. You have a name for it?
Well, the guitar name is it's called the Jiva. That's the model name of the guitar.
Okay, gotcha. Now, do you other than the model, do you ever name your guitars at all? Do you have any names for your guitars?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Not all of them. The ones that do have names are names that really like they came to me immediately when I saw the guitar. So when I get a new guitar, I don't sit around thinking, well, what am I going to name this one? The few that do have names are the name kind of like came to me really organically.
Okay, gotcha. Because I know a lot of guys will name the guitars after comic book heroes or things like that.
Yep.
Yeah. And here in the house,
No, I've got my gem right over there, which is Faith. That's the name that most people know of the guitars of mine. Okay. Actually, hold on, I'll get it.
No problem.
World can see. We can have a little guitar show and tell since I'm in my studio area. But yeah, this is Faith. This is my floral.
And, very nice. Very nice. I had one of the gem the floral patterns way back in the day, and I traded it back in. You know how we always get gear and we get rid of it? Trade it for something else. You've never done that?
No, I've only ever traded one guitar in my whole life.
Then you're lucky.
I'm a super hoarder. I have every single guitar I've ever owned except one, which I traded for my first car.
Okay, well, that's not too bad for a first car. You need transportation.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the guitar and $500, and it was a BC Rich acrylic platinum series, like the plexiglass one,
right.
So I don't really miss it. You know, I kind of wish I still had it just so I would have every single guitar I've ever had, but I'd never play it, so.
Yeah, it's true. And it's hard to keep everything that you've ever had. But I mean, I guess if you're going to sacrifice one guitar, trading it for a vehicle, which is a transportation in today's day and age is a necessity, you know? So
yeah,
it was
definitely.
Good enough.
I needed that car.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't blame you. So let's talk a little bit about the signature guitar. The one cool thing that I find very fascinating about, and I didn't know this until recently seeing some of the press releases and some of your posts from NAMM and stuff like that, it's the very first signature for a female artist on Ibanez roster. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
That's got to be a pretty proud moment.
I still can't believe it. You know, a lot of people mistook that press release to say that I'm the first female artist that Ibanez has ever had, which of course isn't true. I know you've had Jennifer Batten on your show, and I think she was the first to do everything. she's the pioneer of females in trad guitar. But I am the first female that they've done a signature series for.
That's amazing, absolutely amazing. The fact too, like we'll talk about this throughout the evening as well too. Sadly, you know, the world of rock and roll guitar and rock music has been kind of dominated by men. It's not necessarily fair whatsoever, but it's nice when you get not only respect, honors and things like that. I mean, it's just absolutely the accolades and the pride that your family must have for you and yourself as well too. It's amazing.
It's definitely a great feeling. Yeah.
Yeah. So how long had this been in the works? Is it something that you've been talking about with Ibanez over the past couple of years, or did it come up just, I know you've been playing them forever, but.
Oh, I've been dreaming about this guitar since the fourth grade. You know, I think every guitar player, you know, once they start playing guitar and getting better at playing guitar, you start thinking, man, you know, I love this guitar, but if it only had a maple neck, or I love this guitar, but if it only had this bridge, you know, or these specs or these tone woods. So I've literally been designing this guitar since I started playing the guitar. My first guitar was a $99 Strat, and the first thing I did was take the white pickguard off it and put a black pickguard on. I've been designing this guitar since I started playing the guitar. And so when I started with Ibanez in September of 2008 was when I signed on to become an Ibanez artist. And they did my LA custom shop 2 years ago, which actually that one's over here too.
Okay.
got all my guitars here. So this is the first issue edition, I guess I could say, of the Jiva. This is the neck through, which is nice. Still the only one, actually. I think this is the only neck through S series they've ever made.
Okay.
So that was sort of the first edition. I think they were kind of testing the waters to see what the reaction would be to my guitar, see if people were interested in it. And thankfully, when I took it out on tour with Alice, the response was overwhelming. People saying, how can I get this guitar? So that led to the next conversation of getting the signature, the production one going. And my manager and boyfriend, Josh, was so instrumental in making this happen. You know, he really, you know, laid all the moving pieces out to Ibanez, you know, kind of told the whole story of how, you know, how it happened, how cool it could be. And thankfully they saw our vision and made it happen.
I could just imagine that conversation where Ibanez says, okay, well, do you have anything in mind? And you probably run out to the car and grab all your grade school drawings and your book and bring it in. Yeah. Well, where do you want to start, guys?
I really could have. Luckily for me, and I guess for them also, you know, the initial conversation, you know, the real conversation about making this happen started, I think February of last year. So about a year ago today, February of 17, probably not today, mm-hmm. but, you know, around a year ago now. And, when they said, what do you want to do? I kind of already had it mapped out. You know, I knew what woods I wanted. I knew I wanted a mahogany body. I knew I wanted an ebony fretboard. I knew I wanted the beaten path inlay, which we created for my custom shop. And I kind of had everything, you know, ready to go. There wasn't really much discussion. They had some suggestions for different woods, which I listened to and then rejected.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was a pretty seamless process. The biggest decision was whether to go with a flat top or a gloss top, and we ended up going with the gloss.
Do you think down the road you might release, like, some manufacturers with artists will release like a special series, and it'll be like, you know, a non-gloss or a flat top or non-arch or whatever like that? You think you might do something like that down the road?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I already have the next six planned.
Nice, perfect.
You know, The Jiva now has an ebony fretboard, which is my absolute favorite fretboard wood, but it's a very close tie with maple. I love a maple fretboard. So down the line, I'd love to do one with a maple fretboard for sure. There's not going to be a hardtail version because I don't play a hardtail.
Right.
So, you know, people asked for that. You know, they said, well, are they going to do one without a locking, double locking trim? And I said, well, no, you'd have to buy someone's not signature Ibanez for that. The double locking trim is such a signature part of my sound. I would never play guitar without one if I didn't have to. So
doesn't it feel foreign? Have you ever played on someone else's guitar and you go to reach for the Floyd or the Ibanez, in your case, like the Edge Tremolo, and it's not there and you feel kind of weird?
Every time I play someone else's guitar, I do that. Every single time.
Yeah. I've done it here on the show. I've got a couple Wolfgangs that don't have tremolos on them, and I've gone to reach around a few times on camera, and I have to try to come up with something like making it look like, oh, yeah, I meant to do that, and I'll do something stupid to kind of embellish it.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah, well, that's also a big reason why I put the Edge 02 trim on mine. They don't make the original Edge 0 anymore, and I believe they're phasing out the ZR, which was my preferred trim for a long time. Mm-hmm. And the Edge 02 has that screw-in bar on it. Mm-hmm. And for me, I mean, as much as I love the original Edge and the Low Pro Edge trims, the bar swinging around, it drives me cuckoo bananas. Like, you can't, you know, anytime that I reach for it, I want it to be right there. I want to reach for it with my pinky and have it be there for a quick trill or flutter or whatever. Mm-hmm. And if it's not that screw-in type bar, it could be anywhere on the guitar body. And I don't like that.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. Some people do like it free form so they can, you know, get it out of the way. But I like what you're saying. When you want it...
screw-in, you push it and it stays there. And yeah. You bring it back and it stays there. I don't see the appeal to not having the screw-in. But everybody's got their own thing.
That's right. Like. Everything's a little different. Well, one of the next questions I was going to ask you, and you pretty much nailed it right on the head there, was, you know, the body type, the neck and things like that. But one thing you didn't mention here, and I'm curious to see what your direction is in pickups. How involved were you in the sound of the guitar? Like the wood, obviously the tone woods are very, very important, but about the electronics, how involved did you get there? And what sets your sights for pickups?
Well, it's as involved as you can get, because it's actually my signature pickups as well.
Nice. Okay.
My signature DiMarzio pickups, they're called the Pandemonium.
Okay.
These will be available. They'll come standard with the guitar, but they'll also be available standalone from DiMarzio. And so I was, you know, extremely involved. I'm such a guitar nerd, you know, like I'm such a gear and spec purist, mm-hmm. you know. And so I wanted every single aspect of this guitar to be as high quality as we can make it. and at the same time make it something that's not prohibitively expensive for, you know, for people that want to buy it.
That's right.
You know, if we had made this, you know, my original custom shop guitar, if we had made it, you know, made it in Japan with the neck through construction and all that stuff, it would have been an $8,000 guitar.
Yeah.
And nobody would have bought it. I probably wouldn't even have gotten one.
Yeah.
I would have seen one and that's it. So I wanted it to be something that, you know, that is high quality in wood, high quality in construction, you know, high quality in tone, but also something that could be an expensive Christmas present, but it could be a Christmas present or
Certainly.
A graduation present, or it could be someone's, you know, their foray into having a higher end guitar without being something that, you know, I don't think we sacrificed any quality for affordability in the construction. Let's
Good.
Say that.
Then how about the supply and demand? So if people see this guitar, they want it, obviously. They see you playing it. What has Ibanez told you as far as getting into the stores? And are they in stores now, coming soon, and the supply will be good? Sorry, what was that again?
Sorry, it'll be out in the summer.
Okay, good. That's realistic. Awesome.
Yeah, it'll be out worldwide, in stores, online, Sweetwater, Musician's Friend, and in guitar centers and music stores and stuff like that.
People place pre-orders for them now?
I believe so. I have heard talk of orders coming in from dealers and distributors.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if an individual person can put out a pre-order yet.
I hope so.
Yeah. That would be nice. But I know the production is starting soon, and hopefully we'll just start seeing them everywhere.
Oh, that's great. I know some people, if they got a friend that's a music store owner, they can always put in a word, hey, Bob, you know, I'd like the first, I need a guitar that comes through, or they could always work out some kind of deal like that.
Yeah, definitely. And I've seen people saying, yeah, when in my music store and request it. I actually keep meaning to put out a tweet or something saying, if you want my guitar, make sure you go to your local Ibanez dealer and request it. And it's the same thing that goes for clinics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't get booked for a clinic somewhere unless there's demand for me. So people always go, well, why don't you ever do any guitar clinics in Billings, Montana? You know,
yeah.
And I go, well, just if you have an Ibanez dealer there, ask them to bring me in for a clinic, and 9 times out of 10, that's how it happens.
That's the same thing. I know you realize with Alice Cooper and stuff like that, too. Let's say we're talking about Alice Cooper on the show tonight, and like, how come you don't play in such and such Michigan? Well, the promoter didn't contact, you know, you would probably like to be anywhere. Yeah. Yeah, you play anywhere you can, and you'll do any clinic you can, but it has to be booked, paid for, and all that kind of there's expenses and things.
There's literally not a place on the planet that I wouldn't go for a clinic. Like, I love to travel. I love to play guitar. I love to talk about playing guitar, and now I like, you know, I'll be excited to talk about my signature guitar as long as it's like a, what movie is that? It's not A League of Their Own, but you know, when they say if you book them, they will come.
Yeah.
If they book me, I will be there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. If they build it too, like, what's it, Field of Dreams?
Whatever. If you build it, that's what it is.
Yeah. If they build it, they will come. Yeah.
I'm thinking of Wayne's World.
There you
Wayne's
go.
Wayne's World says, if we book them, they will come.
That's right. Jim Morrison, you know, Jim Morrison in his dream. That was great. The Naked Indian. That was hilarious. We're just talking about that movie today. You know,
they just did a screening of it. We were in Chicago and Alice hosted a screening of it, but I didn't go.
You know, it'd be very cool as if I was thinking about this today, actually. I don't know. I think maybe it's because you're coming on the show and I had a Wayne's World flashback because there's the Alice Cooper tie-in. And I was thinking if they did another one, I mean, I would love to see another one. I mean, obviously Mike and Dana Carvey are getting older, but you know, makeup can hide a lot of things. And have, you could be a cameo in that because you're in the band now. It'd be fantastic.
Yeah, it would be great. And it would actually be kind of funny if they're old.
It would
be. Maybe they wouldn't need makeup. It'd be kind of funny if they're like kind of like aging rockers. I think that's a great idea.
You know, it'd be good. And they have the kids too. Mike Myers has got, you know, he's got a little son with the girl that he dumped. Dana Carvey's got, you know, kids from the donut shop girl there. And
it'd be amazing.
Yeah, I think it'd be great. So
it's a solid idea. Pitch it.
All right, let's try it. I'm going, and guys and girls over in the chat too, just want to let you know, we've only got Nita tonight till about 9:45 Eastern Standard Time, so I'm going to blow through some questions really fast over in the chat, and I'm going to take away a lot of my questions off the itinerary just so we can ask some of your questions. So let's jump right over to the chat right now, Nita, and we'll say hi to a bunch of people. We've got more guitars here saying, Nita, great to see you on here. You're an inspiration and a future legend of the instrument. Nice. Les Bellin says, hello, Nita, you rock. Met you at the Cosmo. Terry's GC&G. Say that again.
One of my favorite music stores.
Okay, right on. Great.
Yeah. Richmond Hill. I even remember the exact city that it's in.
Great. Wicked cool. Terry's GCN Guitars from Ontario, Canada, a fellow Ontario one from over here as well, too. Vile Child is here saying, wow, Ryan Reeves is here. Dirty Apes Inc., hello from Belgrade, Montana. Rob Ashby, hello, Eric and Nita. My good friend Sam from California, Sam5150, says, Nita is rad. R2, R3, Lochnut. Hello, everyone. Hello, Eric. Ryan Reeves, congratulations on your new guitar. Thomas Santiago. Hi, Eric and Nita. Hey, Nita, greetings from Brazil. That's from Enthusiasta Gamer, I think it is.
Nada.
My vision is very poor, so names don't get exactly 100% here, but I'll do my best. Terry's GC says, wow, Nita Strauss, and love her new guitar. Lots of love on the guitar. Joe Schwartz isn't seeing the video feed, so try to hit refresh on your screen. You should see it. Curtis Murata says, happy Aloha Friday and happy Chinese New Year. Year of the dog. What year are you? What year are you?
Tiger.
You're the tiger?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There you go.
First question, knocked it out of the park.
Awesome. You're on the ball. Carlos Anton, my fellow Canadian friends, says, happy Friday, everybody. Jason Harverfield, hey, Anita, always enjoy seeing you in videos, especially with Alice Cooper. Of course. Warren Hughes. Do you know Warren Hughes? You got to know Warren Hughes. You got to look him up online. And I had him on the show last week. The guy is like one of the best legato players out there. Amazing.
I love legato. I can't wait to check it out.
Yeah, check it out. I'll send you a link to him later on. He's amazing. He's in the show here right now as well, too. Let me see here. Joshua Kraft says, hey, from a fellow Jason Becker friend, Nita and Eric. Happy Friday. And we do have some Jason Becker questions on the itinerary, too. Thank you for the great show, Eric, and thank you for the great music, Nita. Craig Rendles, and you know what? Let's go over to that right now. Because Craig is the one I was talking to. Craig's a very good friend. You probably know Craig, mutual friend of Jason Becker's. And Craig's been on the show twice with me when Jason was on the show with me as well, too. And talking to Craig just before, a couple hours ago on Facebook, he said to ask you personally, because you've mentioned this before about learning Perpetual Burn. It was something to do as a to-do list for you. Have you gone back and forth to that a little bit, and how are you making out with it?
I have not had any time.
I bet.
It's definitely something that is for sure on my to-do list.
Mm-hmm.
We did 10 months of tour with Alice last year. In between that, you know, I had clinics. I do Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp. I've been back the last 2 months writing my solo record, writing the We Start Wars record, doing more clinics, doing shows with my cover band, the Starbreakers. So it leaves me very little time to do something. You know, it's kind of weird to say it's a luxury.
Yeah.
But you know, learning something like Perpetual Burn, which takes a lot of my hand strength,
mm-hmm.
you know, blazing through something like that for a few hours at a time kind of kills my hands for the rest of the day for the work I have to do. So I haven't done as much, I haven't made as much progress on it as I would have liked, which actually I should really say I haven't made any progress on it at all since I initially learned it. But it's definitely on the to-do list. So.
Hey, there's no time limit on it, right? There's no time.
No.
Do whatever you want.
Not at all. You know, and it's, you know, what do they always say? I'm saving that pleasure for retirement.
There you
let's say that.
Yeah, or just some downtime. What time do you get up in the morning and tackle the day? Are you an early riser?
I'm an early bird. I'm a total gym rat. Mm-hmm. I go to the gym every single morning before I eat. So I spend usually 2 hours in the gym first thing in the morning, and then I go hit my day after that. Yeah, I'll usually work out when I'm home. I usually work out twice a day. I work out in the morning and then I do hot yoga. There's a rock and roll hot yoga place near my house in Hollywood called Hot Box Rock and Roll Yoga, and that's where I go in the evening. So I usually try to work out twice in the day.
Wow, and then tackle on a normal schedule on top of that.
Yeah.
Well, I shouldn't say normal schedule.
Try to do laundry and keep my place like somewhat clean, and you know, so our home doesn't look like right now, you know, between my drummer boyfriend and myself, and you know, us both being so busy, our place looks like a couple of college student musicians live here, which is my fault. But you know, you try to get some semblance of a normal life in there somewhere where you can, and get as much work done as you can as well.
Well, certainly doing pretty good. You can't complain. Humbucker Lover from Guitar News Network is here saying, awesome. Hello, guys and gals. Art Russell Tabor says, congrats, Nita, on your signature Ibin as you've earned it. Yeah, you're going to see a lot of comments like this. Dad Rock 80 says, Nita, you're an amazing talent for sure. Great work with Alice. Cashed up on Bogan, saw Alice Cooper here in Sydney. Nita has a great stage presence and chops. And that's the thing, too. It's not just about having chops, which you have, but to own the moment, you know, like, I mean, you're very, very aggressive on stage. And, I've seen some of the photos and things like that, too. It's like in your face for that 90 minutes or 2 hours or whatever it's going to be. And you definitely put on a show for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's the most fun part. You know, I think if anyone came to the show just to hear the songs exactly like the record, they could just stay home and save their money and listen to the record.
That's right.
They come to especially in an Alice Cooper show, they come to the show to see a performance, and that's what we try to give them.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's for sure. Cash Up and Bogan says, so we talked about Sydney. Let me see if I miss anyone else here. Networking in the future. Not only are you a great inspiration on the guitar, but a great person. Her encouragement helped me with putting down the bottle. So someone having, you know, alcohol and drug addictions and things like that, it's helped that person. So that's fantastic to hear.
Thank you so much. That, like, you know, I'm on my sobriety journey myself, and you know, a little over 2.5 years, and hearing stuff like that keeps me on track. So thank you very, very much.
That's nice. I thought I heard you in some other interviews mentioning some things of that nature. And so that's awesome. I can imagine that's very, very encouraging. It's nice to say, you know, okay, you're a great guitar player and things like that. But when you have really affected someone's life in this case, that's a real moment to treasure.
I think that's what it's all about. Yeah. You know, trying to leave this crazy world a little bit better than when we came into it.
Yeah. And speaking of inspiration, I'm going to go back to my questions for a second. I'm going to come back and make sure I try to get as many people as possible. So let's say we have a young little girl comes up to you and says, what your advice you'd give to the young little girl that says, you know, I want to follow in Nita's footsteps. I want to be a rock and roll star, whatever. And her friends at school say, you know, and it could be a boy or a girl, but especially girls, you know, you know, play with your toys and do your homework and don't worry about rock and roll. You're never going to make it. What kind of advice could you lend to a young person like that might have aspirations of becoming a rock and roll star?
How old are they?
We'll say 8. How old? Let's say they're 8 years old.
Okay. So, and you know, at that age, you tell, you know, it would be all about positive reinforcement. You can do anything you want. There's no limit to the things you can do. It doesn't matter that you live in, you know, and this is my advice really to anybody. You know, I hear this from 5-year-olds, I hear this from 15-year-olds, I hear this from 30-year-olds. Mm-hmm. You know, I hear this from grown men, I hear this from, you know, 40, 50-year-old men saying, you know, I'm never going to make it in the rock business because I live in a small town, there's no connections here, and I don't know anybody. And in 2018, that kind of stuff doesn't matter. In the age of the internet, you know, anybody can literally be anything that they want. Look at Bruce Jenner.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, like, true.
Literally, anybody can literally be anything that they want. You know, look at Conor McGregor, the UFC fighter. He said, there's no such thing as talent. There's only hard work. Anybody can be anything if they work hard enough. If you put the time in, you put the work in, you'll get there. You know, when I grew up playing guitar, I started playing guitar at 13. I didn't know who a single female guitar player was. I had never heard of Jennifer Batten. Mm-hmm. I had never heard of Michelle Meldrum. I knew who the Runaways were, but I didn't know of anybody doing solos, let's say. I didn't know of anybody doing technical guitar music. So I think you don't necessarily have to have a role model that looks exactly like you to, you know, to look up to someone. So to that 8-year-old boy or girl, I would say you can be anything you want. Don't ever let anybody tell you just play with your toys. Don't let anyone say just play with your dolls or play mm-hmm. with your trucks. If you want to play guitar, go out there and play your little guitar. Play your little heart out.
Yeah, that's great. And it's probably rewarding for you too through social media, especially today, which, you know, you didn't have growing up, you know, and you're much younger than I am. But growing up now for the youth, seeing all these musicians on social media, Instagram is a perfect example because everyone's flocking over there for video. They can throw out a minute video and they can actually do something. There's a million girls out there that can kick our butts, you know, 7 ways from Sunday. It's probably very encouraging to see.
Like 8-year-old girls that can kick my butt.
Yeah.
That have way better technique than me, that are way faster than me. And, you know, it's funny, you know, people have a funny way on the internet of pitting female musicians against each other. And it never works. You know, that's the really funny thing is I don't, you know, I'm friends with all the girls in all the big bands just about. And I don't know anybody that has a problem with anybody else. And, you know, people will always send me links and say, oh, Nita, better watch out. You know, look at Lisa X, look at so-and-so, you know, but she's coming for your gig. And it makes me laugh because I love other female musicians. I love supporting other females in the industry. And, you know, and most of the girls that are successful that I know are exactly the same way. So it's awesome.
I think women though get along with people better. It's just my opinion, and I'm you know, I can't really back this up, but you know, us guys, a lot of guys will like, oh, what's this guy trying to prove? Or look at his hair. But then women on the other hand be like, look at her hair. She's got beautiful hair. You know, and you're always so nice to people, whereas guys are always judging. I know there's some women out there too that could.
Well, you judge too, but silently.
Yeah. Okay. All right. There you go.
You know, I love the phrase, real queens fix each other's crowns. And most of the girls I know in bands are like that. You know, we'll do a photo shoot together and we'll be fixing each other's hair or saying, here, try my lipstick or you know, whatever it is. We're all out there to help elevate the female musician and build the female musician up, not tear each other down.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, positive reinforcement for sure. And, you know, I'm going to jump over to a Jason Becker question, which will actually tie in your boyfriend, Josh, and your manager there. So first of all, I huge kudos to him, too, for helping set this up today as well. It was very nice of him to get back to me. So he surprised you with a very, very cool surprise, a road trip one day. So we're going to set this up a little bit. You can tell the story how this happened. You're going out for a ride in a car and you end up at someone's place. And then I want you to share with our viewers here some of the things you've learned from that man that you went to visit, both, you know, spiritually, musically, everything in between. But let's set up that story and tell us what happened.
Well, so I guess it would have been about 3 years ago around now, maybe, you know, 3 years and change, maybe April of 2015. Mm-hmm. Josh told me, I had shown him the documentary Jason Becker's Not Dead Yet. He wasn't familiar with Jason or his playing or anything. And if any of you guys haven't seen that movie, I hugely suggest that you check it out. It's on iTunes. Buy it. Don't rent it. You will want to watch it again. It's one of the few things I have bought on iTunes and saved on my iPad and my computer to watch again and again. So I showed him Not Dead Yet. And it just, obviously, that movie like really strikes a chord and inspires you. And Josh asked me, have you ever met Jason? And I said, no, of course not. You know, no, I've never met him. And so a few days after that, Josh, you know, who is my boyfriend, but also manages my career, he said, I have a huge audition opportunity for you. You need to learn something really technical, really complex, because this is a guitar thing. You need to really like blow people away. I'm like, okay, well, you know, I can brush up on some Malmsteen songs I learned a long time ago, and that should be fine. That'll impress most people. He's like, no, that's not enough. It needs to be a perpetual burn. I was like, what? You are crazy. Like, I'm not, you know, and this is for an audition like the following week or something. So I was like, I don't have enough time to learn a complex piece of music like that in like 6 days.
Right.
And he said, no, look. You know, I'm telling you, you really need to blow these people away. You really need to, you know, this is a huge opportunity for you. And there's like this whole long involved, you know, lie, mm-hmm. that ended up spinning off, you know, in so many different directions. But essentially what it boiled down to was I had this huge audition. I had to learn Perpetual Burn. And he knows the ways to kind of light a fire under me and motivate me. So he got me to learn it. And I mean, I have a repetitive stress injury in my left hand, so I can only practice so much. Mm-hmm. And I practiced until I was almost in tears every day, you know, learning every day for 6 days, not that long, you know, but I practiced until I was almost crying. And then I would take a rest, you know, give my hand an ice bath. You know, you can do little things like alternate between heat and cold and stuff to get the blood flowing and get better. And I was just like on my practice game so hard. And as I'm practicing, as I'm learning it, I couldn't figure out why he was filming me so much. Okay. You know, like the video, if you go on YouTube and type in Nita Strauss, Jason Becker, you'll see me just sitting here in my living room wearing one of Josh's Morbid Angel shirts and pajama pants practicing Perpetual Burn. If I would have known that, I would have gotten changed, you know, but I left it in because it's all part of the story.
Yep.
So then he said, okay, now the audition is now in person. It's not a video. Now we have to go up. They're so impressed by you that they want you to go up. The CEOs of the company, this long involved lie, they're staying in town to see you. So we have to drive up to San Francisco. And I was about to leave for Australia with Alice. So I was like, I'm not driving to San Francisco tomorrow. And I said, no, it's important. This is the next phase of your career. We're going to do this. So we get in the car, we drive 6 hours, you know, we live in Hollywood. So we drove, you know, basically the length of California.
Yeah.
And, you know, then I'm doing my makeup in the car, getting all ready. You kind of see that in the video too. And then we pulled up at someone's house and I just had this funny feeling. And I said, what are we doing here? He said, I have to pick someone up. And I'm like, you're picking someone up for my audition? Then I got mad.
Yeah.
You're picking someone up to bring to my audition? And then he got out of the car and he took my guitar out of the car. He took my amp, my little practice amp out of the car. I said, well, why are you bringing that in if we're just picking someone up? And then it kind of clicked because I looked at the house and I recognized the house and I didn't quite know. And then I saw him bring the thing in. And then it kind of clicked that he had me learn Perpetual Burn. And I was like, oh my God. And then I lost it, as you see in the video. I was mm-hmm. shaking. I didn't even want to go inside. I was so nervous. And so we went inside, of course. And Jason was so nice. You know, everybody there, you know, everybody that he interacts with and everybody on Team Jason is so cool and so personable. And seeing someone that has that immense amount of talent, that had that huge opportunity, you know, the dream, everybody's dream, mm-hmm. you know, how do you replace Steve Vai? You know, like, I mean, that's, you know, and at that age and everything he had already accomplished, to have that, you know, to have that ability taken away and be so funny and so charming and personable. You know, I think he even asked me out while we were up there. You know, he said, will you go out with me? You know, right in front of Josh. Yeah. You know, and we all laughed. And he's so charming and funny. And within 10 minutes, I forgot that we weren't just communicating normally like you and I are.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very natural conversation. And, you know, for someone that in that situation to be so positive and so funny and so and have such ease, you know, talking about life, you know, he told me, you know, here's all my guitars on the wall, play whatever you want. And I was, you know, like a kid in a candy store, played Bluey, played these old Ibanez, you know, played everything. And he's like, yeah, play whatever you want. So many people in that situation would be like, well, if I can't play guitar, I don't want to even think about guitar, yeah. You know. And to see someone with that amount of positivity in the face of such adversity really, you know, it makes you rethink your whole life. It made me rethink my whole life. You know, if someone can be that positive in that situation, there's no reason why I can't be positive in any situation.
That's right.
And on a day when I don't want to practice, when I'm not in the mood, it's easy for me to think, what if I couldn't practice?
Yeah, the day could come to any of us.
Now I think about Jason, think, what if I couldn't play?
That's right.
I always get up and start practicing.
Yeah, he never had the choice to say, you know, I don't feel like playing anymore. It was forced upon him where he couldn't. So, you know, that could happen to any of us at any given time. We've seen all kinds of our guitar heroes over the years get stricken with Parkinson's recently. You know, Glenn Tipton from Judas Priest, and so many rockers are being taken from us. You know, yeah, that's amazing. And he's, as you would know firsthand being there with Jason, he, even on the show a couple of times, he's been on my show, he's actually cracked a couple, that's what she said, jokes. I mean, the guy will leave you in stitches. Like you're literally laughing to the point of pain.
No, it was amazing. You know, like we got in there, this was before I stopped drinking. We got up there and Jason said, do you guys want a beer or something? Like the bathroom's in there. You had a long drive. Like, yeah. You know, that's like what a normal thing to go into someone's home and have them say, you want a beer or water?
Yeah.
You know? And we were like, sure.
You know. Totally cool. Yeah.
It was so cool. It was so amazing.
The family's wonderful as well too. We talked a lot off the air before and after the show, and just you can see how much love there is there.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. I want to add a question for you. A lot of people that, you know, that haven't discovered you through Alice Cooper knew you as through tribute acts, like with Iron Maidens. What do you think today, like, and I've done some time in my days way back in tribute acts, but I think the world is so saturated now with tribute bands. Is there still a place for people that want to get into the tribute acts, whether it's, you know, no matter what the genre is it still worth people trying? And can people succeed in an oversaturated market in tribute acts today?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, absolutely. The Iron Maidens are in Australia right now, I think.
Okay.
They're going to be in Australia shortly. You know, like, you know, that band tours so much. You know, they go all over Europe, all over Japan, South America, Australia. When I was playing with them, we would headline huge festivals. Like, I'm not talking about 1,500 people. I'm talking 30,000 people,
Real deals.
In South America and stuff. And we would play last, like we were the big band. And I think that's the, you know, the tribute, mm-hmm. for lack of a better word, to how great Iron Maiden is and how great AC/DC is and how great the Rolling Stones are and Judas Priest and all these bands. You know, people want to hear Judas Priest songs. Judas Priest doesn't tour that much.
Yeah.
So if you're playing the songs and you're playing them well, you know, especially, you know, I've seen a lot of Alice Cooper bands, you know, I get tagged in a lot of Alice Cooper tribute band stuff. And the ones that seem to be successful are the ones that take it seriously. They have the props, they do the guillotine, they have the nurse. And I see some people kind of half-assing it and saying like, okay, well, we'll play the songs and that's it. And those are the ones I see playing small clubs and not doing too well. So I guess my advice for succeeding in an oversaturated market is just do it well.
Yes.
Do it better.
Yeah. I see that too. Sometimes bands... Yeah, they'll have, like, the guitar player will have a hat on backwards, and he's supposed to be, you know, the Eddie Van Halen or the Slash or a Steve Vai. Look the part, own the part, play the guitars.
I'm partial to an Alice Cooper tribute band. It's actually from Canada called the Eyes of Alice, because they're the first one I've seen to have a me.
Oh.
You know, they have a female guitar player, Martina Fasano, and she has an Ibanez. She wears the same Doc Martens I do. She wears the Monster wristbands like I do. She wears the Beverly Kills Stay Humble or Be Humble like I do. Like, that's someone that is looking at the current state of the band and saying, this is how I can best pay tribute to the band. You know, Alice had Orianti in the band before me. So there's been a female guitar player, you know, in the band for, it must be 7-8 years now. Mm-hmm. This is going to be my fourth year. So it's time, guys. If you're doing Crying Alice songs, time to get a girl.
Yeah.
It's playing guitar.
Yeah, get with the program.
Get with the program.
That's right. And maybe this guitar player you're talking about, maybe she'll pick up your signature guitar. That would be pretty awesome for her to have.
I would love that so much. Aside from being a great guitar player, she's an amazing person. I would be honored to have her play.
So you connect as friends a little bit.
Oh, totally.
That's
yeah,
great.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I have to. You're on a show that has EVH in the title. I have to ask you a couple of EVH questions. And I'm going to be letting you go here right shortly. How old were you when you discovered Eddie Van Halen, and how did that move you as a guitarist?
I started listening to Van Halen. You know, my dad was my first musical influence, mm-hmm. and he used to put Van Halen on in our house all the time. And it was to me now. You know, my parents got divorced when I was 9, and I didn't listen to it too much after that for a long time. And now when I listen to Van Halen, it kind of takes me back to that pre-bummer time. You know, like I had a great childhood and I had a great childhood after the divorce. But it kind of takes me back to that, you know, I'll put on Van Halen when I'm having a hard day and I need to smile. I need to listen to, you know, something that will put me in a good mood. That's when I put Van Halen on.
Wicked. Wicked. And we all have it takes us back every time too. We listen to it. They're our first songs that we heard from Van Halen, or maybe it's just a special, maybe it's a concert we saw. So yeah, I like to hear people's stories here on the show. It's something I always ask, is like a time capsule period. I can't let you go without asking you a Van Halen question. So it was mandatory.
Absolutely.
Awesome. I'm going to jump through the chat real fast here and say hi to for a bunch of people to you, and we'll let you get out of here as well. Curtis Murata says, or first of all, Dan Wilhite's here saying, hey, Eric and Anita. Carlos Santos says, I can't play without a Floyd. Now it just doesn't feel right without one. I agree.
I totally agree too.
That's right. Do you ever try the Futone products? Have you tried them at all?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. So, okay,
is it Futone? I always pronounce it F-U, but I guess
you know what it is. It's a darn Canadian thing. It is F-U tone. And Adam, okay. Adam says, you know what? Just keep sending me orders, Eric. I don't care what you call it.
This stuff is awesome. Yeah. Those guys are definitely the real deal. They know their stuff.
I thought you were on his roster. I was pretty sure, but that's awesome to know, because I talk about that on the show as much as I talk about Van Halen. So very cool.
I don't think I'm technically on their roster, but I am a fan of their products. Well, I think they've sent stuff to the guys in my band, and I think I've pilfered it here and there.
We'll get you on there. We'll get you on there. I'll send you an email address. I'll get you hooked up. Ron Padgett says, I agree, likes the trembar tight. Sam5150 says, I remember seeing Nita play with the Iron Maidens a bunch of times at a swap meet here in SoCal. She's my favorite female guitar
player. What?
Brezbo says, hey,
we did 3 hours and it cost $1 to get in. So
hey,
I would have gone to that show too.
That is great. That's, yeah, sometimes people, you know, they need shows that they can get in and afford the cover.
Three sets, 1 hour each, no repeating songs for $1.
Wow.
Yeah.
You can't park for a dollar. You can't park your car for a dollar.
No, not here in Hollywood.
Nope.
In Santa Fe Springs, you can.
Yeah. No, that's totally awesome. Loka Chicky, here's a comment. Says, my daughter, Kaylee, I believe it is the biggest fan. She found Nita this year in New Jersey. We went to the venue super early just for that. Thank you for taking the time to do things like that for your fans.
Kaylee, I remember that name.
Yeah.
I'm trying to connect it with the actual memory, but I do remember a Kaylee.
Nice.
So thank you guys for coming.
No problem. That's very nice that you do that. Frank McNeil says, love Nita. She seems to leave it all on the stage for every performance. Killer guitarist, especially live, which in my opinion is where it really counts. So true, or so cool to have her on EVH Gear TV. And I second that. Thank you, Frank. That's awesome. Loka Chicky's going to get the new guitar for her daughter, I guess.
Oh, thank you. So here, nice. Hold on. I've got it right here before we go.
Yeah, let's look at this. Yes, for sure.
So I actually happened to have it literally sitting next to me. I didn't even know we were doing video on this podcast today. Mm-hmm. So I did not plan to have it sitting next to me when we did this. But since I do happen to have the one and only Jiva here, there she is.
Oh, man, that is absolutely insane.
You can see the pickups. Let me try to get it close to my computer camera. Those are the signature DiMarzio Pandemonium pickups.
That's wicked.
There you have the beaten path, the heartbeat inlay, and the matching top chorus.
Now, did I see 22 fret or 24? I scanned that quickly.
24.
Do you always play 24?
Always, every single day.
Always?
Yeah, but.
For me, I'm a 22 fret guy. I don't like vintage guitars with 21 frets. And line six just sent me a 24 fret guitar, and I feel like it's almost like I go into scanner panic mode when I get past the 22nd fret.
See, I feel like that with 22 fret guitars, because I feel like I always know where that high octave is going to be on the 24.
Sure.
So if I don't have that high octave, I go for what I think is going to be the high octave, and it's certainly not. And then I don't know where I'm at. So yeah. It's 24 or no for me.
Okay, that's good to know. Yeah. And you're a shred player too, so people that can shred tend to like to have that roadmap to go a little further too.
Yeah, you know, I don't really use it all the time, yep. But it's good to have.
Yeah, have it for the rainy day.
Yeah, well, it's like, you know, it's like the middle single coil pickup. You know, you don't use it in every song, but when you use it, you need it.
That's right. And when you hear it, you're just like, okay, I'm going to use that one a little bit more often.
Yeah, this one's a True Velvet, which I think is the most amazing single coil ever made by any company ever. So if anyone's looking for a good single coil, I know it's not the most popular pickup in metal to have a single coil, but the DiMarzio True Velvet is the pinnacle of single coils. And when I was developing my signature pickup with DiMarzio, they said, do you want to do, you know, we did the signature neck and bridge. Do you want to do a signature middle? And I said, not unless you can just put my name on a True Velvet. And I didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to mislead people. So
right.
It's much better, I think, just to have the True Velvet in there.
Nice. Very cool. So I think we're going to probably have to let you go here. It's 9:45. Everyone over in the chat, I didn't get a chance to get to you, but what I'll do is I'll extend an invitation to you again. I know your schedule is stupid crazy and we won't even send any plans, but we've got our contact information. And if you ever have some free time, give me even like today's notice, give me a few hours notice and I can accommodate you to come on the show and we can kind of continue where we left off. But I wish you the absolute best with Alice this year. Just quickly tell us before you go, what are your plans this year, Alice, and everything else?
Well, I'm leaving for the Alice tour in... God, 10 days.
Okay.
It's flown by. So we're leaving. We're starting that tour, I think, at Casino Rama, where we've been a bunch of times. And we'll tour throughout March in the States. And then I'll be back here working on my solo record and working on the We Start Wars record.
Fantastic. Now, your solo record, what do you anticipate for a hopeful release date? For 2019 kind of thing?
No, I'm hoping for 2018.
Okay, good. Fantastic.
I've got most of it written, and now it's just a matter of fine-tuning it and actually recording it and... you know, finding a home for it, whether it's going to be on a label, whether it's going to be self-released. That's like, you know, all the little details that make a big difference.
Oh, that's great. We'll look forward to that for sure. And as that gets closer to release too, I'll share that through the networks here as well too. Thank you as well too for sharing some of the things on social media tonight as well too, for promoting the show. I appreciate that. Big thank you to Josh. He sounds like a great guy. I see all your social media posts that you guys do together, and not only are you a great working team, you both seem very, very happy together, and that's very important in life. You know, so kudos to both of you on that.
Thank you. I think it's good in life to find somebody who elevates you and, you know, not only is a great partner, you know, in love, but is a great partner in life and makes you your best self.
That's right. I agree with that 100%. I have the same, tight knit thing here at home with the family here too. It's very important. I wouldn't be doing what I do if I didn't have someone that, you know, makes this happen and pushes it. So more power to the both of you.
Thank you.
Awesome. Everyone, thank you so very much for tuning in. I know it's a short show tonight, but please stick around. We'll get Nita back on here at her convenience. Nita, I'm going to say goodbye to you off the air, so just give me about 40 seconds. We'll say goodbye to you. And everyone, thank you for tuning in tonight. Have a fantastic weekend. We hope we warmed up your weekend for you. Go have some fun. Be safe. Stay warm out there if you're in my neck of the woods. And we will see you very soon. Have a fantastic tour this year, Nita. And I'll say goodbye to you off the air.
Thank you very much.
Everyone, take care. See you real soon. Until next time. Cheers.
Hey, EVH Gear TV and Eddie Van Halen fans. If you are like me, you find the time to read books difficult. Why not have it read to you? Grab one of three critically acclaimed Van Halen audiobooks, like Van Halen Rising by Greg Renoff, Running with the Devil by Noel Monk, or Everybody Wants Some by Ian Christie, available right now from Audible. Sign up for a free trial with zero obligation to get any one of these three audiobooks today. You can cancel if you wish after your trial membership expires and keep the book. There are many other great titles to choose from as well. Links in the description below, but just remember audibletrial.com/EVHCureTV. Click the link below and go grab your first free audiobook.
Thank you for listening to this edition of EVH Gear TV. This episode is being brought to you in part by VanHalenStore.com. Shop VanHalenStore.com for the largest selection of official Van Halen merchandise and memorabilia. Be sure to check out our website at evhgeardiscussion.com for more updates and follow us on social media.